We are pleased to inform you that you have a place at Potterversity.
Welcome to Potterversity, a Potter Studies podcast. On today's episode, we're inviting you, yes, you, to put forward an abstract for the Harry Potter Academic Conference this fall. I am Katie McDaniel, Professor of History at Marietta College in Marietta, Ohio, co-editor of Harry Potter for Nerds 2 and co-editor with Emily Strand of Potterversity, Essays Exploring the World of Harry Potter.
And I am Emily Strand, Director of Campus Ministry, Liturgical Music, and adjunct faculty at Ohio Dominican University. And I write and edit stuff with Katie sometimes too.
Today we are joined by Lauren Camachi, who is the Harry Potter Academic Conference Conference Coordinator. And we are also joined by our Potterversity producer and a board member and frequent presenter at Harry Potter Academic Conference, Lori Beckoff. Welcome back to the show, you two. Well, in this episode, we are celebrating the upcoming 15th year of the Harry Potter Academic Conference. That is amazing to think about. It is scheduled for October 23rd and 24th of 2026. Submissions for individual papers and panels are open now until April 10th. So it is an earlier deadline than it has been in years past to allow people to do a lot of good planning for coming to the conference in October. Listeners, we would love for you all to put your hat in the ring for this amazing conference. And so we are today going to give you the whole scoop on the conference and what kinds of things they're looking for in terms of papers and hopefully prime the pump for some great ideas. We're just going to get right into it today. Let's start just by talking about the conference itself and, you know, its role, especially in this area of Harry Potter studies. Why is Harry Potter studies still relevant for scholars? And what do we think is the value of the conference in terms of, you know, this field of study?
We are, as Katie said, going into year 15, and we have yet to need to back off. That's how our one of our founders, Patrick McCauley, professor of theology at Chestnut Hill College, has put it in the past. We have seen a continuous high-level interest in Harry Potter scholarship that has not waned at all in these 15 years that we've been having the conference. What we have seen is a focus on analyzing the texts, but we've also seen lots of shifts over the years for the social issues or the cultural issues that people then engage with at the conference. So it remains relevant. Whether folks are still choosing to participate in the fandom has changed a lot, but it has remained a very popular area of study over the last almost two decades.
Yeah, and I think I'm always impressed with how people find new things to write about each year. Sometimes it's very politically relevant, you know, in terms of what people are connecting to present day events or present day trends. And sometimes, as you said, it's really like deep dives on characters and, you know, all that kind of, kind of traditional things that you might expect. And I always see new things at the conference. I think it's really exciting. What do you think about that, Lori?
Absolutely. We keep seeing new ideas every year. And I think that's what's so encouraging about it. It makes you want to go back. It's not the same thing again and again. Every time you think there's nothing left to say or nothing left to hear, someone comes in from a completely different angle and really just completely changes the way that you read the books or watch the films or think about the fandom. So I think especially in an era where the fandom's really at a crossroads, where there's been a lot of questions around authorship, where there's supposedly expansions of the franchise that people have very mixed feelings about, having a place to talk critically about these things and to bring in lots of different perspectives is a boon and a comfort as well, because fandom is so fraught in so many ways that having a place where it's the whole point is to talk critically about it is really important. And also a place where you can also be kind of silly and enjoy it and make jokes about it.
And wear your, wear your house robes
Yeah,
or
it's like
your
we
tie.
need spaces like this that much more. And I think that Harry Potter also, as much as people sometimes want to stop talking about it and giving it relevance, it can be so helpful for how we think about a lot of different topics, a lot of different fields. It really is still such a touch point for so much culture.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like this type of studying this type of work, popular culture work, has become more acceptable, in a lot of academic institutions in the 15 years that the conference has gone on, or 14 years that the conference has gone on,
Very
that
true.
it really changes the conversation. When you feel the freedom to really dive into this text and you feel like people are taking this seriously, the conversation tends to evolve. And I have enjoyed seeing that evolution over many years of my own attendance.
And even I think as other types of fantasy and sci-fi franchises come out and get popular, Harry Potter, like a lot of those wouldn't exist if not for Harry Potter. Or they wouldn't be as popular if not for Harry Potter. So talking about Harry Potter often in conversation, both with older works that came before Harry Potter and newer works since, I think opens up a lot of doors.
And I think whenever you have a
Can
field, if you have a conference that can allow people to develop the field and, point out new trends and, it can be the first place if they're looking for an article. And of course, we always look for podcast guests there too. So I think the conference itself is great at just giving a place for those academic conversations around Potter studies.
And something that I want to make sure that we say as speaking as a representative of the conference organization is that we took what happened with the author very, very seriously, and we have carefully curated our space to be as welcoming and safe as possible for our LGBTQIA brethren in the F Potter fandom. Our beloved conference attendee and presenter, Dr. Brent Satterley, has called us the half-blood fan, those fans who are queer or queer allies who still find a home at Hogwarts and are really struggling to cope with the dissonance between what happened with the author's views and the call from a large part of more progressive society to drop the series completely because of the author. And there are still many people. Many of us who find a home at Hogwarts. And so we've created that space so that we have a place where we can, as Lori said, engage critically with these texts. And as Lori and I have talked about for a spiritedly and often, that if good critically thinking folks bow out of the fandom, that doesn't change the popularity of the fandom. It just takes the critical thinking out of it. And the conference is a space where we welcome that critical thinking and that, tough engagement with these texts.
I'd also say to go back to your point, Katie, about just a great place for, academic horizons and debate and conversation. It makes me think about this class I took in college called Hamlet and Critical Methods. I had a requirement as an English major to take something on literary theory. And some of the classes that were offered were very abstract. Like you read all the theorists, you read Freud and Foucault, and things like that, but like without context. And it just seemed like a lot of abstract theory that for me didn't feel like it was getting applied enough to get what was going on. And when there was a Hamlet class that fulfilled that requirement, I said, oh, well, that's great for me because I already have read Hamlet and seen Hamlet many times. I'm familiar with the text. And saying, well, we'll look at feminism and post-colonialism and all these and Marxism and all these different ways of reading through the lens of a text you already know, it opened up all those types of theory for me. And I think that Harry Potter can do that too for a lot of people and help them look at something in their own field or learn something from another field by having this common ground.
Absolutely. I think that's a fantastic point. And that's one of the things I love most about not only like Harry Potter studies, but the conference too, which is very welcoming to all kinds of theoretical approaches. So let's move on to talk about what are some of the kinds of topics that, you know, are welcome at the conference that the conference organizers are excited or eager to see coming through as abstracts.
So I'm going to mostly kick this question over to Lori because of the members of the board, she has remained the most active scholar among us in terms of participating in the conference. Many of us have gone into full admin mode at this point. But one of the things we have also carefully curated over the years is maintaining an accessible space. So the conference registration price is very low, and the call for papers is open to anyone with a good idea about Harry Potter and something scholarly to say about it, whether that is a community member, a high school student, an undergraduate, or a tenured professor. We have had everybody from there and even beyond that over the years, and we treasure the participation of folks coming from wide ranges of experience. And that has made our community richer by doing that.
I think even those of us on this call are a good example of we all come from quite different backgrounds, have different careers, have different academic fields we focus in, have different degree levels, and we've all presented at the conference. So for those who don't know, I'm a medievalist by training, and that has always been what I've presented on. I often think maybe I should do something else because I have studied Harry Potter pretty broadly beyond the medieval, but that always feels like because that's what my degree is in and that's what my specialty is, that's something unique I feel I can bring to the conference is that medieval literature background, that Arthurian focus. That is generally what I like to present on. So I'd say like the biggest ones we tend to get are various fields of literary studies, whether that's more literary theory, different periods, Victorian, medieval, Renaissance. We've gotten a lot of Shakespeare comparisons. Whatever other types of literature people want to compare it to, but also just close readings, even if no one's using an outside source, just really deep analysis is always great to hear. We get a lot of people talking about history. We get a lot of law, psychology, religious studies, film and fandom studies, you know, as cultural studies has expanded as a field. Music, we've had several in the last few years. And really things that are looking at the books as books, the books as part of a larger universe and looking at adaptation and the whole franchise, looking at the fandom. We always get a lot on fan fiction and fan communities has been very popular. And one thing that we always get a little bit of and I always find exciting is stuff that's not in the humanities. We get a little bit sometimes in the sciences, and that's always kind of fun, I think, when someone comes in with something completely different and not what we're used to. So I would encourage anyone, and I think some of those, we get people who are scholars in a totally different field that they would never usually get the opportunity to talk about Harry Potter, but they have some idea that really appeals to them that they're like, oh, where could I talk about this subject that I focus in with regard to Harry Potter? So both aspects, whether you are a huge, huge, huge Harry Potter fan who just wants to dig a little deeper into something, or an academic who just really likes Harry Potter and wants to see how you can combine those two things and apply it. Really, every subject is welcome. And I think the sort of the more unusual to compare to Harry Potter or use with Harry Potter, the more exciting.
You know, what I love about the conference is to see the collabs, as the kids say, where two scholars team up. Sometimes it's kind of a teacher-student duo. Sometimes it's a small group of people. Sometimes it's scholars who are in different countries, but they team up and they present something together that they've both, you know, provided research and analysis to. And that's always very interesting to me as somebody who so often, except for on this podcast, works alone kind of academically. That's always really interesting to me to see that kind of dynamic at play.
And don't forget the mashups. I always like the mashups where people are like seeing connections. We just had an episode about Harry Potter and Stranger Things. Somebody could do really cool paper looking at that, like delving more deeply into some of those issues. And there's so much out there that people find connections with that I would never even think of. And so I always like the mashups as well.
Yeah.
And then also I would say there are people who are using Harry Potter in the classroom in interesting and dynamic ways. And so a good pedagogy panel is also good. And I think, right, correct me if I'm wrong here, Laurie, but you all are open to panel suggestions too. Like if you wanted to put a panel together where you would have even like a roundtable discussion, or you would all be presenting on a particular topic, that would be something that people could submit together with some of their buddies, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely welcome. You know, we had that food panel a couple of years ago. That was sort of a participatory gathering about conversation. You know, one person led it, Mark Anthony Lewis, who's been on the show before, talking about, you know, he brought up, he started from his own perspective on thoughts he had on food and Harry Potter and brought food, and other people were welcome to bring food. And then other people were also welcome to get up and talk about their analysis of food and Harry Potter. So yeah, different kinds of workshops or interactive things, panels, all welcome as well.
That was a huge fan favorite. So we are attempting to bring that back for this year's 15th annual in-person conference. So
I should mention that this year it is the in-person conference and that you all are alternating in-person and digital. And last year, I think it's really nice to do that because it's easier for a lot of international people to do, and such cool international panels that I saw last year. And then we get to gather in person again this year, and how great to do that on the 15th anniversary. So good to have that in there. All right. So if somebody has an idea, what should they do? Like, where should they look for sources, or even if they're trying to come up with an idea, what are some sources of inspiration? You know, what would help people to put together a good abstract? Some practical advice.
Well, the number one piece of advice I would give is that you don't need to go it alone. So if you have an idea, but you're not sure that you can bake it fully on your own, we encourage you to hop over to harrypotterconference.com and get signed up for our Slack workspace. You could join into the Slack workspace and you can find essentially like a conference buddy, someone who might be willing to give your idea another read or get you, help you with some ideas. But honestly, it's not uncommon that we'll get an idea and I will end up writing the person back and being like, I see where you're going. Can we workshop this? And you send it back again. And so that has definitely happened in the past. And in the academic world, it's the revise and resubmit, but it's a very positive thing when we do that. So I would say don't go it alone. Try to reach out to the community that we already have going, and the Slack workspace is a great place to do that.
I would think that was a great idea.
Seems, yeah, unusual and very accessible. A great space for new scholars, because new scholars, I mean, you're going to be there listening to these scholars with just decades of wonderful experience. You know, in both teaching and writing and editing, and so it's just such a great space to kind of foment new academic talent, I think.
So one of the things that I think is great about the conference too, that I think is the theme we talked about earlier, is that I think the conference is very open to new and emerging scholars and is very mentoring in that way, in a way that's really wonderful and brings people into the community. So I think people should not be afraid to venture an idea and see where it takes you.
Well, I'll talk a little bit about my process for coming up with a paper. So I think there are several different ways to go at it. One is that a reread or a rewatch is always helpful. Just sit down thinking that you're looking for something. And I think if you sit down and say, I'm going to reread the books or reread my favorite one, or even just reread a chapter I like that's been on my mind, or, oh, the movies are on, or I'm going to pop my DVDs in and watch the movies again. Sometimes that's just the best place to start, and something will hit you and go, has anyone ever said anything about that? So that's one great place to start. Another for me is I like to look at old papers that I've written or old notes I've taken. So I'll like go through my notes from my undergraduate and graduate dissertations and look and see like, what stuff did I write down that maybe didn't, that occurred to me but didn't make it into my thesis or was not the main focus. So using your own previous notes can be helpful. Another one is looking at the past conference programs. I like to do that every year. And when I had an idea recently for this year, I went looking through all the programs to see if anyone had talked about this yet. And I did not find a paper on it. So I'm like, okay, I think this is original enough. I have not found a lot on it. If you're then looking for academic sources, go to your classics, depending on, you know, how well-versed you are in academic research. WorldCat is a helpful one, worldcat.org, that really has absolutely every book, article, etc. that you can find in libraries, as well as things like JSTOR. Muse from Johns Hopkins is a favorite of mine that has a lot of great humanities papers. You know, look at your local library or your university library and, like, look at what recent publications are in Harry Potter studies or in Harry Potter and whatever your field is. And I always feel like that's a helpful way to start to see what else have people said about this. Do I have something else to say about this? And kind of work from there. And then if you already have your idea, those are just great places to find citations and sources.
One thing that I think a lot of people who are newer or who are, you know, coming from a different academic perspective, who find a little Harry Potter niche topic that they're interested in pursuing, sometimes people don't think there's anything been written on something when there actually has been that might be really helpful that you could build upon or argue against. I love a good controversy. So, you know, if you are like, oh, that person was really wrong about that. So I always encourage people to actually, like, take a look and see if anybody has talked about this before. And, you know, what are you going to add that will enrich the conversation or will turn something on its head?
Or further it. I mean, I've done talks where I've been like, you know, here's my thesis, here are my reasons for it. And that is all I want to say about that. But more could be said. And then somebody says more. It's like, yeah, right. yes, please. So, you know, I mean, I kind of like to jump around. So it's nice to be able to find something where somebody left, you know, an ellipsis at the end of their presentation.
And we've absolutely had papers at the conference before where someone says, 2 years ago, someone gave a paper on this and it got me thinking. And now I would like to present something building off of that. And I mean, that's what great academic writing is anyway, right? It's not thinking you're the first person to ever say something on this topic. It's being in conversation with adding to the discourse of what others have said.
And if fishing through previous programs for the conference doesn't sound appealing to you, HPAC has done a great job in the last few years of posting videos of the conference presentations. And so if people go to their YouTube channel, we're going to put all this in the show notes. I feel like this all got to go in the show notes.
Put some links.
Put some links. And then you can check out the conference presentations as many of us saw them as well. So
you all are thinking about the Harry Potter conference as it's been. I don't know, Lauren, if you've been with it for all 15 years. I came in a little later. Okay. Nobody's been here for the whole 15
no.
years. Okay. But let's talk about, like, what changes we've seen. I know that it's in its, you know, inception, it started pretty small and local at Chestnut Hill mm-hmm. College, but that, you know, it has definitely expanded and changed. What are some of the bigger changes that we see in the conference over that period?
Yeah, so just a tiny bit of conference history here for us. The Harry Potter Academic Conference was founded by two professors at Chestnut Hill College, Dr. Patrick McCauley and Dr. Karen Wendling, when they were paired together as a religious studies professor and a chemistry professor teaching a first year seminar. And they taught their class on the importance of the hero's journey and the scientific method in the hero's journey. And Harry Potter was one of the texts that they did. They did Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, and the Golden Compass. And at the end, they were so impressed with the papers that the students had written, and most of them were about Harry Potter. Not terribly surprising, because at the time, right, those were the newest, and kids would have definitely been reading them. That they said, let's make a little conference, and so they had a conference. And a few folks who are still with the conference, like Lori Kim, were at year one, and have been there every year since. And they and Patrick and Karen invited community members to participate in this very small conference. And it was a really wonderful success that Chestnut Hill College fully supported and helped support over the years. I came in year three, and I came in because I met Karen and Patrick at the Southwest Regional Meeting of the Popular and American Culture Studies Association. We call it SWPACA. And that was where our colleague, Dr. Chris Bell, had the Harry Potter Studies division. And that blew every metric out of the water for that conference. They just were not expecting the amount of interest, papers, and participation. And so that was the year that would have been 2013. So right around, yes, it would have, 13, 14, 15, because I think I came in year in 2015.
I came in 15 and this was before that. So I think 13 is probably where
Okay.
you, yeah.
So it all blew up then, and it all everybody really started getting interest in serious scholarly inquiry of Harry Potter. So some of the biggest changes that we have seen over the 15 years, the very first one, and the one that I think Patrick would talk about the most, is the fact that when we started the conference, it was basically unheard of to think that someone would write even a master's thesis on Harry Potter. I personally was one who, at my degree conferring institution, was told, well, it's so great you have publications about Harry Potter, but like, what are you going to do for your real studies? And was talked out of doing work in that area. Now we have people whose doctoral dissertations are on Potter studies, and I think that HPAC has been, because we have this legitimate annual meeting that has been going now for close on to 2 decades, we've shown that we are here, we're serious, we're doing serious scholarship, publications are coming out of this conference. So this has gone from a small campus meeting of undergraduates to a conference that draws participants from actually all over the world. Last year, I think we represented 14 different countries, I think, for participants in the online only. And that would be the second biggest change that we have had with HPAC. And that is that we were hoping that we'd survive COVID. And we did. We did that by pivoting. So everybody went online for 2020 because that's what we all had to do. But we realized in the process of doing the conference the following year that there was a hunger for participation from those who were not able to get to campus for Chestnut Hill College. And for logistic reasons and for our sanity, we could not do a fully hybrid event. Even if you ask people at the very largest, most well-funded institutions in the country, they'd say a truly hybrid event is extremely difficult to do properly. And so we said, well, how about we start flip-flopping? And so every other year, even numbered years, we're on campus, odd numbered years, we're online only. And by doing this, we have seen participation grow by an absolutely enormous amount. We had a truly competitive selection last year because we had, I believe, 80 papers ideas come in, and we can't fit 80 papers in 2 days. So we had a really competitive selection last year. We had participation over 200. It's a size and a legitimacy thing that I think would be the two biggest markers of change over 15 years. Oh, and for context, I came to be the conference coordinator because our two founders have been doing this for 15 years and are tired. And so they said we would love to let someone else run it and we could just stay on the board. And so that is what is happening now. So Karen and Patrick are absolutely still part of the conference. They are still definitely a presence and an essential presence in the conference. They just have handed the logistical reins over to moi.
And I think every year there have been changes. It's definitely not stagnant. There have been positive changes. There's a kind of flexibility about what's being done and the Slack that you'd mentioned. Like, I think that's a relatively new addition. Yes. So I think that there have been, some really great changes that, again, are keeping it relevant and flexible and, something that people can feel like they can participate in pretty easily.
Accessible. Yeah, we want people to be able to find each other. That's always been a real bee in Lori's bonnet is the inability for us to find each other when we're trying to do our research and work on our papers. How can we make that conversation last longer than the 2 days of the conference and spread farther than the two rooms of the conference? And doing things like the Slack workspace, making our talks accessible on YouTube, publishing with author permission their email addresses, even so that folks can reach out to one another. that's been very important for growing the community and strengthening its roots.
All right, so now we move on to the last question, which is, what has the conference meant to each of you, both personally and professionally? I'm very curious to hear your thoughts on this. And this is sort of the big pitch, what people, you know, might be able to get from the conference and from participating. So how about Lori? What has the conference meant to you personally, professionally?
Well, I realize that this year will be 10 years since my first. I went in 2016 for the first time, aww, which was right after I graduated college. Ah, it's my 10-year reunion. Right after I graduated college, I'd done my senior thesis on Harry Potter and Arthurian legend. And I came knowing no one. You know, I just took a trip down to Philly from New York. And so professionally, it was a big deal for me to be my first conference presentation. And, you know, I went on to grad school after that and ended up coming back after writing my master's dissertation. Having that experience of a place that was open to a fresh college graduate coming and presenting, giving me the confidence and the experience, putting it on my resume to go to grad school later, was a major professional milestone, and has continued to help my professional development as I've learned more and more from going to that conference. I've presented at other conferences. I come back with what I hope are better papers every year. It has helped me grow as a professional scholar, I hope. Of course, personally, at that very first conference, oh my gosh, I'm now realizing it's our 10-year friendversary.
Aww. What
because
fun.
I met you, Emily and Katie. Lauren, did I meet you at that one or not till later?
I mean, we would have been in the same rotunda.
It was
least,
really
so
crowded that year.
Yes. So. Oh,
I don't remember
right.
if we really like
right.
conversed that year or not until
yes.
later.
We, was that we the crowd crush year in,
yes.
in town?
Well, okay.
Oh my gosh.
Not actually crowd crush, thankfully, but yes.
Nobody
it
was
a,
hurt. It was fine.
Unseasonably, unnecessarily popular due to some delightfully polite and enthusiastic press that we got that we didn't ask for.
Yes, and that, and to be clear, listeners, the overcrowding situation. I mean, it was pretty crowded at the conference that year too, but it was all in hand. The really overcrowded situation was the Village, which the next day did a festival, a Harry Potter festival, which they don't do anymore for copyright reasons. But you know, where 5,000 people had showed up the year before, 40,000 people through social media, viralism, 40,000 people showed up, and the town just was not prepared because who's prepared for that? And so that it was a crazy year, but Lori, my friend Kat Sass and I always attend the conference together. Kat is wonderful. Hello, Kat. I miss you. I can't wait for this year. And every year we ended up collecting a young person who just was fun and engaging and adding them to our little friend duo. And so you were our favorite person to collect. So yeah, that was a great
you
year.
You hear that? Anyone else who's been collected? I'm the favorite.
So, but it is fun yeah. place to like meet up with people. And Emily, that's where you and I met. We
I
had
know.
Known each other through, I guess, email
yeah.
before,
yeah.
but it was fun to meet in person, both you and Kat. I just think that those moments also are a really important part of building community. And I feel like it's so funny to me. I think about, I have all these Harry Potter friendships and the opportunity to see my Harry Potter friends in person and talk about one of the things that links us together. I don't know. It's just very, to me, it's like spiritual. You know, there's something that's really wonderful about being in community with my Harry Potter friends. And so personally, I enjoy that. But also professionally, it has like pursuing Harry Potter topics has gotten me into so many other topics that I never would have looked into before. And, you know, the whole thing about fan, you know, the fan communities and how fan, not just fan fiction, but all kinds of fan production works. And, you know, I've just been able to explore lots of things that I don't think I ever would have had reason to know about. And I just love learning. And so I think that that does end up enriching your professional practice all along the way too. How about Lauren?
My relationship to the conference has changed exceptionally over the years. I started as an attendee and I'm now running the show. But what Katie said about the time, the value of the time spent with your community and that feeling of, I mean, I don't think you're wrong in saying that it has a pilgrimage quality to it, that you feel this sort of special feeling when you go to St. Joseph Hall and you meet each other and you get to see each other. That was definitely something I took away from my first Sopaka, that my parents always remind me that I came back very refreshed and renewed, saying I had kind of clearly I had found my people when, graduate school can be a very lonely time. And finding Southwest and then, on the other half of the year being able to go to HPAC, it really made a big difference in terms of forming that community, even though these aren't folks you see all the time. It has also The conference has been a real anchor for me, and especially the conference community has been a real anchor for me. So, Dr. Bell used to joke and call me his encyclopedia because I used to read the Harry Potter series twice a year, every year, twice a year. I could tell you a page number. I knew where things were. And ever since what happened in 2020, I have not been able to pick the series back up. I have not been able to read it. I tried, and I was way too sad. I couldn't read it. And the conference, running the conference, has kept me connected to the parts of the series that for me are worth keeping, the critical inquiry, the impact on culture, the community that can form. So the conference has been my, as I said, my anchor to this fandom in a time when I have really felt very unmoored with my Harry Potter-ness. I mean, I have two tattoos that I said, do I cover them? Do I keep them? I'm just not sure. Professionally, very different story. I am very formerly ACK. I'm no longer in an academic community. I am in a professional work community. So my direct applications are not quite as easy to one-to-one, but I have learned how to run an event. I have learned how to do a lot of planning behind the scenes. I've learned how to run meetings better that I'm bringing to work. So I'm learning a lot of admin skills that I perhaps wouldn't have learned otherwise. And I feel like it is for a really good cause rather than just work stuff. This is fun that I enjoy doing. So it is a labor of love in a very real way, as cliche as that is. I do this and I'm miserable, but I also love it. Like, no one wants to be on a spreadsheet for 15 hours one day, but well, some people do, but we don't talk about those people. But I
It's
don't want to
worth
be in a
it.
spreadsheet. It is so, I mean, it's so worth it. It really is.
Thank you for your service.
Oh, yeah,
Because
for
that,
sure.
seriously, no, that's the part of it that I do not have any time for. But I love the ability to go to the conference and just immerse in these great ideas. And you are making that possible for people like me. So I
And it
really
is a
appreciate
very
it.
well organized conference in the
It
sense
is.
that I think the panels are well designed, and then you know what you're supposed to be doing at any given moment. And there are lots of opportunities for people to get together, have a meal together, what have you. So I think people who come have, a great full the full experience is a good one. So Emily, what about you? Personal, professional meaning of this conference for you?
It is hard to put into words because 2015 is when I first started going to the conference, and it was at the suggestion of John Granger, who at that time was often a special guest at the conference, and he encouraged me to submit and go. And Katie, you had just accepted my Quidditch paper for the Harry Potter for Nerds 2 volume. And I think that the editing and stuff was done. I'm pretty sure it was all done by then, but like the editing process was like so eye-opening to me. And I had written it for a master's class online, and like your editing was like so good and like really challenged me and stretched me. And you were like this like scary person on the other side of the
Oh
email. I mean, you were always nice and friendly, but like, like the real warmth of Katie McDaniel doesn't come through unless you're like in a room together, right? And so then like, so I'm like meeting this person. I'm like trying to convince myself that I have the right to be here, and then I meet you and like you're so nice and so funny and like we're like getting along so well, and I'm like, oh, no wonder she was so good at editing my paper. Like, this is so great, So, and to go from you know, feeling like the total new kid on the block and like very green, very nervous about, you know, do I have a right to be here? And then to go from to look back on my, what, 13 years of going and to see that that progression is I can't put into words how special that is. And to go from also, it's really important to go from that idea that is what I'm doing real? Is this more than anything just indulgent? You know, to now feeling like, no, this is really important work, to have people like Timothy Snyder talking to us about totalitarianism and how the series illuminates so many important facets of totalitarianism that we need to pay attention to, you know, to, and that's just one talk that we've had. We've had so many fascinating.
Yeah, how about Loretta Ross? Like, oh, she's amazing, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, and to really feel like we're doing something and we're participating in something that's just really important to civic dialogue today is just a great. So it's been, I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait for another in-person year, especially. Those are so much fun.
And I would say to anyone who's not been before, who's thinking about coming, you can come meet all of us and it'll be fun. And I feel like there's such a sense of, you see the same people again and again, you get to know each other, but also like there are always new people and people, I think it's an intimate enough conference that it's totally okay to go up to someone and say, hey, I saw your paper. You asked a really interesting question earlier. Or just, hey, I like your Harry Potter, you know, accessory that you've got going on.
Yes.
So like,
or,
it's
hey,
definitely...
did you really come from France?
So yeah,
so it's always a place for, you know,
yeah,
to make new connections.
I met Ian McLaughlin at the, you know, complimentary breakfast at the hotel because he was all out in his witch's gear or Wicks gear. And I was like, you must be my people. Harry Potter conference. Good. I love meeting the new people and carrying on the conversations and learning so much every time I go. If you are interested and you listen to the podcast and you know you have a glimmer of an idea, put your name in. And it's a 250 word abstract, which is not a lot. It's not a huge abstract. And I will confess that I often write the abstract and don't really know exactly how the whole paper is going to come out in the end. But it always does. That deadline, again, is April 10th. So it's coming up. Put your name in.
Put your name in the Goblet of Fire. There's no age line.
And if dear listener, you are interested in sending in a paper, but you do not live in a place that will allow you to travel to Chestnut Hill College, hold on to that idea. The 2027 conference will be our online only DigiHPAC. So we have that space for you. We can only take papers for folks that can come to campus this year, but next year, all online. Totally, totally okay to save it for next year.
And if you don't have an idea for a paper or you're just not someone who likes public speaking or, you could do a panel for one thing. It doesn't have to be a paper, as we said, but also just come, make sure you come and join us. Wait until the conference registration is open and come and listen to papers.
I mean, it's a great one just to be an audience member. Sometimes I have trouble picking which panel I'm going to go see. A good problem to have. Well, thank you all for this great pitch. Lauren, will you remind the listeners all the details about the Harry Potter Academic Conference this year, when to submit and where it's going to be and all of that?
Yes, the 15th annual Harry Potter Academic Conference at Chestnut Hill College will be at Chestnut Hill College in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania on Friday, October 23rd and Saturday, October 24th, 2026, in person only. But there will be a view-only ticket so that you could watch if you are not able to get to campus. Registration and tickets will open later because right now we are doing submissions. Submissions are open until April 10th, at which point they'll close so that we can get people their answers so they could get their plane tickets going faster than a month before.
Thanks for that. All right. So thank you both to Lauren Camachi and Lori Beckoff for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having us.
Can't wait to do this in person in a few months.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was just going to say. I can't wait to see you in person. I do feel like it's just getting a chance to, you know, to see a special set of friends on the regular, which is a really satisfying opportunity. Well, today we're going to close with a quote from Book 4, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. Emily, you sort of stole the surprise there because I was thinking in terms of Goblet of Fire. So it's a little bit of a strange quote. I don't want to dissuade anyone, but here is the situation, right?
I will just say the death toll of the Harry Potter Academic Conference is zero.
That's right. That's right.
People and we plan on keeping it that way.
Yes, guaranteed a much less harrowing experience than what Harry experiences at the Triwizard Tournament. Okay, so I am reading from Chapter 16, The Goblet of Fire. This is the pivotal moment. "Excellent," Dumbledore called happily, as at last the tumult died down. "Well, we now have our three champions. I am sure I can count upon all of you, including the remaining students from Beauxbatons and Durmstrang, to give your champions every ounce of support you can muster. By cheering your champion on, you will contribute in a very real..." But Dumbledore suddenly stopped speaking, and it was apparent to everybody what had distracted him. The fire in the goblet had just turned red again. Sparks were flying out of it. A long flame shot suddenly into the air, and borne upon it was another piece of parchment. Automatically, it seemed, Dumbledore reached out a long hand and seized the parchment. He held it out and stared at the name written upon it. There was a long pause, during which Dumbledore stared at the slip in his hands, and everyone in the room stared at Dumbledore, and then Dumbledore cleared his throat and read out, "Harry Potter." Listeners, put your name in before the Goblet of Fire goes out. That is April 10th. We hope to see all of you there. And until next time, class dismissed. We hope you have enjoyed this episode of Potterversity. Send us your thoughts on the episode or propose ideas for future episodes by writing to potterversitypodcast@gmail.com. If you like the show, consider leaving a review. And be sure to follow Potterversity on Facebook and Instagram. Potterversity is produced by Laurie Beckoff and edited by Lan Deer. Our announcer is Sarah Brown. Our theme music is performed by The Town, featuring Sean Ellsburn, Scott Hacker, Travis Prinzi, Ashley Shepard, and Emily Strand, and produced by Sean Ellsburn.